Josh Gosser.
And I'm Jordan Taylor. Welcome to A Shot of Whiskey, Season 2, Episode 14. Let's get it. Welcome back, Badger fans. We have our season finale. Presumably, we got to talk to the bosses upstairs and see what they're talking about, but I'm just going to go ahead and assume since the season is over, there's a season finale, so we appreciate what y'all been doing all year. And for the last time, I'm proud to tell you that Underdog Sports is still our partner, and even better, they are still running promos for all new users all season long. The easiest way for you to get in on the special is by downloading our code ASOW24. That's once again ASOW24. Join along, deposit, get registered, and come play along on Underdog Fantasy with me, Josh, and whoever else has been doing that. Today, we got a very special guest for y'all. The newest Badger, newly crowned state champion in the state of Minnesota.
Oh.
For the Breck Mustangs, the first-time state champion at that school, making history, making waves, and a highly anticipated recruit for the Badgers. Also from Bloomington, Minnesota, like myself, so got a you know, cut from good cloth already. We got Daniel Freetag. Is it Freetag or Freetag? How you pronounce it?
It's Freetag. You had it right.
All right, Dan. Yeah, Freetag. I've been wondering that. I'd be saying it. I'd say Josh. I've known Josh for like eight. How long I known you, Josh? 10 years?
Yeah,
10 years, and I still say his last name wrong. So, but anyway, Daniel, what's
Jordan,
up,
man? Were you a state champ in high school?
Josh, I'm trying to introduce
the
guest.
Were you a state champ
in high school? Introduce the guest. Yes, right. I was a state champion in high school.
We finally
sweet,
got in terms of
– sweet okay. Fool, state champion, Gatorade player of the year, Mr. Basketball, Pioneer Press player.
We're talking about Daniel here, not you.
That's exactly. So, Daniel, what's up, man? Appreciate you jumping on, man.
Absolutely.
So we'll jump, we'll get into it right away, man. Obviously we talked about your state championship. For those that don't know, Breck Mustangs is a private school in the Minneapolis area. That is the first state championship in school history. So congrats on that. And just take us through your season. You transferred from Jefferson to Breck. Originally we were supposed to go out to Cali, right?
Yeah.
So just kind of walk us through, that decision to stay in Minnesota. And then how your season went, how you feeling, and look forward to next year.
Yeah. So last year, I'd say around this time, I had kind of gained an interest in a California school that had reached out the year before. And we went out there and I liked it. So, you know, I guess I like committed there and decided I was going to go there for my senior year. And after a lot of time and consideration, like we ended up not wanting to do so anymore. And wanted to return to Minnesota. And with that switch, clearly I was going to need to come back to a high school in Minnesota, and Jefferson probably wouldn't take me with open arms anymore. So we had to figure out where I was going. And it was around that same time that we adopted four new children, and they were in this St. Louis Park area already. And so we didn't want to move them away from all their friends and what they know. And so we decided the St. Louis Park area, and it's just conveniently right next to Breck, and just decided to go to Breck. And it's been amazing since, you know, working out with those guys like right away after committing, just the players, no coaches, but doing that. And then season went exactly how we wanted it to, minus one game. But yeah.
30, what was you guys' record?
30 and 1 or 31-1, one of the two.
33, no matter. It's impressive. Nonetheless, you were in St. Louis Park. We would have preferred, us Minnesotans, some of us would have preferred you gone to Benilde, but went to Breck. Harry yeah. Sony, really good, young and up-and-coming coach up there. But timeout, back it up. You said we, you keep saying we adopted four children. So break that down. You know what I'm saying? What's up?
I always say that by accident. That's just me and my mom.
Beautiful. No, that's dope. That's dope. You and your mom adopted four children. Dive into that, because I'm sure that sounds like a unique story. I mean, you have how many brothers and sisters?
Well, I only have one blood, but now it is just a whole bunch. So we're already kind of dabbling in the foster care system, you know, getting kids for X amount of time. And then once they find a permanent home, giving them back, whatever. And we found ourselves just wanting to be that permanent home for somebody. And we adopted, two girls and two boys. And then, like, I don't know. I mean, we just got a house that would accommodate everybody and happened to be right next to Breck.
That's incredible. How old are your new brothers and sisters?
Okay, so the oldest, actually, I should keep the names to myself. My younger sister is, I think, 13, and then younger brother is 12, and then it's another brother at 10, and then younger sister at 9, and then older brother that's blood, and then that's it.
So, Josh, you got something? Were you about to ask something? So
I'll throw you up really quick.
So you got four new brothers and sisters. How is it like adjusting to that, to a new school before you go off to college? Like, that's a lot of change, right?
It's a ton of change, and it took a lot of adjusting. I was the youngest in my family, and there was no other kind of children around my age. So family reunions and everything like that, I'm always with the older people. And then just at once, four children get added to my house, and it's been a complete change. I mean, not having to look over other people, but getting to, and everything like that. Like it's just been crazy. And then on top of that, moving to a whole new city, don't know anything. Moving to a whole new school, don't know anyone. Like it's been awesome, but it was definitely something that took adjusting.
Man, that transition to college is going to be nothing.
That's
going into a locker room, it should be easy. Seriously. It sounds like you went from little brother, superstar athlete, getting all the attention to almost like, I don't want to speak out of turn, but say almost like father figure, older brother, father figure real quick.
Yeah, very quick, because my dad isn't in the house, and so it's seriously just like my mom and myself. That's why I always say we. And it's like, I mean, they really don't have, you know, an older male person to look up to. And so it was a complete 180 at once.
Damn. So what type of obligations do you have to your mom then, like for looking out for her now and then helping her in the house you have? Like, what was the added chores, I guess, or added responsibility specifically that you had?
I've taken a lot of kind of like my individual stuff, and it's completely like on me now. You know, I actually got cut some slack. I don't have to do dishes and stuff like that anymore. But as far as just like having to take care of myself, I've really like adjusted to it. And now it's like, I wouldn't say there's weeks, but there's definitely days in a row consecutively that I'm not even seeing my mom, where it's like, I'm off to school, then basketball, then like a workout and a haircut or something, where I'm just constantly like in and out of the house and just not really seeing her. And so it's just like, I don't know. We've kind of just adjusted that way, but I don't have any chores really. It's just, I got to take care of myself for the most part.
Yeah. That's definitely an accelerated, that's almost like a prep year in a way. You got your prep year anyway. You're supposed to go to Cali. It ended up that. Yes. So that's dope, man. That's dope. Let's switch it over to basketball, man. Talk about, obviously I'm sure you've heard at length kind of the transition on the basketball court from college or from high school to college. What are you looking forward to? Some of the challenges on the basketball court as you go from high school to the next level.
Which challenges am I excited for?
Yeah, anything. Excited for, anxious about, whatever.
I know. So I'm a big question asker, and I love being like, not, I don't want to say dumbest, but like the dumbest in the room, because then like it's only up for me at that point. And so I know going into high school at Jefferson when I was a freshman, it was a senior heavy team, and it wasn't the most like, they weren't the best leaders in the world. And so asking a ton of questions kind of irritated them. But I remember just learning so much by just kind of like watching and asking a ton of questions, even if they weren't, you know, answering them super well or whatever. But just being able to ask people things that I don't know has always been like something I like. And so I think next year, just being kind of the dumbest in the room and just kind of being, I don't want to say the worst at basketball, but the least mature and the youngest and everything like that is kind of, it excites me, because then like, I don't know what I don't know. And so if I can learn a whole, like another 10 million things about basketball, like I'm excited for it. But I'd say that's just the number one thing on my mind right now, is just trying to learn after other people.
Yeah, I feel like you're in a great position coming in as a freshman to, one, make an immediate impact, but also with guys like Chucky Hepburn, Kamari McGee, some veteran point guards that you can learn from. But there's also going to be this balance for you of one, freeing up Chucky's ball handling ability, taking some of that load off him, but then also finding a way to play off the ball. I'm sure you've find a way to play off the ball. I think Jordan and I have talked about this a lot because we were both, you know, point guards growing up our whole lives, and then coming in as freshmen, you got to find a way to play without the ball. So I'm curious how comfortable you are with that, and also just what people can expect from your game coming in as a freshman. Like, what's natural for you to play, and what do you expect to grow into?
You know, I really don't know what they can expect because I've played on – like my freshman year, I came in just to be like another guy that knew the plays and just played defense and was low maintenance, you know, caused no attention to him, like nothing. And then sophomore year, 27 points per game. And then junior year, 28 points per game, but now 9 rebounds per game. So like, and then AAU, now I'm 9 points per game. Like I can really just change to whatever the team kind of needs. I know it's like corny or okay, everybody likes to say that. But, like, it's seriously, like, you could see 10 different things next year. I really don't know. But I liked what you said about kind of the veteran point guards. But also just, like, I talked to Coach Krabenhoff and talked to Coach Guard, and they're so willing to answer questions that I'm looking forward to the veteran point guards. But, like, even the people not on the court that are just so willing to help me. Motivational speaker Dave Anderson, I don't know if he was working with you guys, but just everyone's so, like, willing. And so I think that adjustment will be, I don't want to say easy, but easier.
Yeah, I can promise you that you will not be the most immature person in your locker room next year. I can just talking to you for 5 minutes. I can guarantee that. But
you got attitude, though, the ability to ask a lot of questions.
Yeah,
and sponge definitely. As a freshman and come in and not act like Mr. Know-It-All. I mean, that's what some guys struggle with. And I think you're exactly right that you have a great coaching staff, a great people who have been there, who have done it and are willing to help. So I think you're spot on.
What are your, do you have any individual goals or expectations from yourself as a freshman?
I haven't made those yet. I know going into high school, I made those and it was all like the numbers or whatever, but so quickly, like my attitude changed on it and immediately just became like score 0 points, but help the team win became like just so like second nature. Like I just all the numbers just left my head, I guess. But for sure, just play. Like I know, like it could be passing, it could be bringing the ball up or defending or whatever it is. But I just know, like I just want to play. I don't want to sit on the bench. So if I can get myself some minutes, that's probably my biggest goal.
What do you see? You need to do what's the, watching this year's team? What is one thing that you feel like you can come and do immediately that will get you on the floor?
I think I'm an underrated ball handler, and not even to score, but to just bring it up comfortably, to be able to take the load off of Chucky. I had a backup point guard with me this year that it just felt so like I could just take 2 possessions off of bringing the ball up. Or I think I have a smart or a good IQ when it comes to basketball. So kind of like how to like break up a press or like, you know, help lead guys to where they need to be and stuff like that. Like, I kind of see that being what puts me on the floor, to be honest.
Yeah, you can never have too many guys that can create and handle the ball. And I think losing AJ Storr, losing presumably Connor Siege and some of these guys, that'll get you on the floor along with, I think, your IQ and things like that. I guess, what did you watch a lot of Wisconsin games this year? You know, what was kind of some of your thoughts going into the season? Like, man, I feel like I could go out there and help us, or I could – or what was your mindset kind of watching games this year as a recruit? Because I'm sure it was different as a sophomore or junior in high school, and when you're committed, you're probably thinking the game a little different. I'm just curious how you were watching.
Yeah, it's definitely changed. At the beginning of the year when they were on their like crazy run, I know I was watching like, okay, like I was kind of watching like, okay, I'm going to try to do that like him and do that. And I noticed that he does this. And then once we were kind of struggling, I kind of noticed the places that I could have, you know, helped us in, and things of that nature kind of. And then, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely a different game knowing that I'll be there next year, but
taking AJ out and Connor and Tyler Wall, there's going to be a void for scoring for sure. So I think, you know, watching you play with guys like Andy Stefanovic, I pronounce that. Yeah. Andy Stefanovic, I think, He's another, I mean, he's a point guard as well. So I thought you guys complimented each other really well in AAU. And for those that don't know, Andy's going Minnetonka, Minnesota kid going to North Dakota State, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, going to North Dakota State. So I thought you guys did a very good job, and you played with high-level players, Wisconsin recruit Jackson McAndrew also, who decided to go to Creighton. So I think that's one thing that I've noticed is that you should be and will be comfortable coming in playing with talented players because you've already played on that stage with Howard Pulley in the EYCL.
Absolutely.
So
can we take a step back? I feel like you were a multi-sport guy, football, basketball, right?
Yeah, just like Josh.
I feel like Wisconsin's had a lot of success with guards, football players. I don't know if you're a quarterback or receiver or what, but I guess talk about your recruiting process with both sports, and I guess which sport were you better at?
I'd like to say I was better at football, but I know that it wasn't my brain doing the work. Like for football, I know, like, it's just like basketball. I had no pace. I know, like, technique in my route running. Like, it was all just like, if I'm faster than you, I'm going to run by you. And if I'm bigger, I'm going to just try to run through you. Like, so ultimately, I think that's why I chose basketball. But the recruitment for football started just shortly after the basketball.
What other schools did you have for football? Did Wisconsin recruited you for football, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I had the basketball offers, and then football, I had a dual offer in at Kansas State, Wisconsin, Minnesota. And then that's it for dual, and then just football alone, I had Notre Dame.
So Golden Domer. So was it for Wisconsin football, was it under the current Luke Fickell?
Fickell.
It was under current. So there's still a chance that we'll see you on a Wisconsin football field potentially someday.
Yeah, very small chance, but yeah.
dip into that NIL football fund too.
Man, double what? Dip. Man, yeah. Oh God. Oh God. Are you still in contact at all with Coach Fickell?
I'm not. Nah. Every time I go and we go to a football game, I kind of run into the coaches that were recruiting me, but nah, not anymore.
What did they recruit you? Because you play quarterback at Jefferson, right? Did you play this year at Brett Kiss, too?
Nah, I didn't play this year.
Okay, so you play quarterback at Jefferson. What did they recruit you as? What position?
So I played quarterback because of our lack of quarterback. I wasn't really a quarterback. I played receiver. I played DB and safety. But Wisconsin was recruiting me for safety.
Okay. So I was going to say, just say you was Mike Vick, man.
You can say anything, we'll believe it.
So you know, and you know, he said when you asked if he was watching the games, he said, "Yeah, I was watching when we was on the run, and like some of the rest of us, he was like, but when we started losing, I turned that shit off." That's all right, man. That's all right, Josh. You got anything else?
Yeah, I guess. What are you most excited about coming to Madtown, other than basketball? I mean, have you been able to visit the campus? Do you have any high school friend? People from Minnesota who have been there and kind of starting out fresh. What are you most excited for on campus?
I don't know a ton of people at Madison right now, especially not my friends, but I've been there a ton of times. And I mean, I know it's beautiful, but that doesn't really do anything for me when I'm there. It's just beautiful. But
yeah. Especially in the winter, it ain't beautiful, but it's always beautiful.
Right? I'd say kind of just like the fan love. And I don't even like to use the word fan, just kind of the support that people bring. I know on my most recent visit, the Purdue game, like we were just walking up, me and my friends, and then the entire crowd was kind of chanting like Daniel Freitag, and then the claps. It's like them knowing my first and last name as a whole and like as a group and being willing to swallow their pride and do that. Cause like those are 22-year-olds doing that for an 18-year-old. Like I think kind of just the support that Wisconsin just brings as a whole.
Oh no, yeah, we can relate to that. It's special, man. It's fun.
Have you been around the campus? Have you seen around the campus? Is there anything that has drawn you to it specifically? What dorm are you in? Where can we send the girls, man? What dorm are you in?
I'm in. But shoot,
Yeah. All right.
Well, I don't know what dorm I'm in. They'll find me though, but I don't know.
Next year, and we have you on the, when we have you back on the pod, we'll drop the dorm room. We'll drop the sniff hall. Yeah.
You guys got a nice little core though with John Blackwell, Nolan Winter. Those guys is like a wing and a big, and you coming in at the lead guard. Like as an alum, just random old washed up dude. I'm excited for that young core that you guys can build around. So I know John Blackwell and Nolan both really good dudes too, and can play and impact immediately. So I think. I don't know much about the other incoming recruit too, but I'm sure he can help too. So I think you guys got a great core to build upon.
No, yeah, I think we have a good like amount of young guys, a five, and then John being a two, and then me being a one, and yep. Jack being like a two or a three. Like I think it's great. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, shoot, I forgot. Jack's coming in late. Another Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I completely forgot.
I watched him play against Con Knupel from Wisconsin Lutheran, who went to Duke. I went to that game. They played in Madison. And
I heard Con kind of killed, but
Con killed. He did kill. He's pretty nice.
You're not going to convince me that dude's good at basketball until I see it.
I looked at the stats. It said 35, 10, 7, and 5. I'm like,
damn, what them stats said. I gotta see it. All the pictures I see, he looks like, man, he looks like Ben now.
Yeah, but he's like solid. That dude can.
He's nice, huh?
He's a different kind of nice. He's like a guy you want to play with, doesn't need the ball. And when he gets it, he can just put it in the hole, you know?
Yeah.
Well, shout out Jack Robeson, Lakeville, Minnesota, other recruit coming in with Daniel this year. But Daniel, that's all we got for you. That's all I got for you, man. We appreciate you joining. We're looking forward to having you on campus and watching you play for the squad, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Nice to meet you, man.
That is Daniel Freetag. Excited about him getting on campus. I'm not as prepared today as normally with some stats. I don't even know. Let's have
his look. Numbers or what?
He's his top 100. I know he's in the top 100, right?
I gotta say, I've seen some clips on Twitter.
Hey, he's tough. Yeah, no, he's tough.
I feel like he brings a level of just like aggressiveness and just like you can tell. I mean, he said it, but I think you can tell that he can impact the game in a lot of different ways, learning to score, and he obviously can't score. So
yeah, so he was in the top 100 most of his recruitment process, and then dropped out. But I think in part, in my opinion, it's probably
he committed to Wisconsin or what?
No, actually, it's probably honestly because he went to Breck, which is my brother went to the same high school as him, and it's a smaller school in Minnesota. It's only 2A, so he's ranked 114th on Rivals right now.
Oh, and he had the football recruiting. Maybe that impacted.
Yeah. But no, actually, he's like, it's weird because I think he's like, has a potential to be a mix athletically between like a Devin, but then he's built more solid like a football player. So he should be able to get out and transition like right. Devin. But then he's kind of a unique player, I'd say, for Wisconsin. I don't think we've really had a ton of like straight like line the, athletes like
yeah he's is. Like the perfect three guard lineup guy.
He'd probably be able to size up but play like one through three,
yeah, and guard multiple positions. I feel like he's tough enough to be able to switch and do the things that we want to do defensively, and the way we do our ball screen actions where multiple guys, you know, it's not like back in the swing offense where we had one lead guard, you know, doing a lot of things. You can play him and Chucky together because there's gonna be continuity and ball screens and things like that. So I think he's be able to find the floor if he does some of those little things.
Yeah. All right, man, let's get to the meat and potatoes. James Madison, the season's over. 5 seed, lost to the 12 seed, James Madison, who went on to get obliterated by Duke. A lot of frustration behind that game. We're not going to go through the stats. We're not going to go through it all. Just give me your recap. Give me your thoughts, man. No, I'll go first. I can't lie to you. That one was tough for me to watch because I can't remember a game. We got blown out. In the tournament, we lost to Cornell, beat us pretty good, and they just kind of like we went through a buzzsaw. We played bad against Butler my junior year, but I don't think I've ever seen it. It looked like we couldn't dribble. We looked bad that game.
Yeah, like Cornell, it was they just like out.
It was X's and O's. Yeah, they out. Yeah,
like it wasn't. It was, this was like they came for the fight, and we weren't ready for the fight. We didn't punch back. I was texting some former teammates and stuff during the game, and I was like, we just need to settle down. Once we settle down, it's good. And the settle down never happened. We never got settled down to where, like, the game, like, all right, just wait for this media timeout. Once this media timeout happens, the game will kind of even itself out. The energy will even itself out. It never happened. We never – and if it wasn't for Max Klesman just catching fire, I mean, yeah, it was frustrating to watch.
Yeah, it was I believe, and I quote, we're down like five. Game has finally settled down. Now we're good. From Josh.
Is that my text to you?
That's from and I did not respond because I did not feel that way. And it was 2 a.m. where I was. 2:20.
That's why I think I stopped. That's why I thought you stopped texting me because you went to bed. But
well, it was a little bit of both. I didn't quite see it that way, and it was too late for me to go back and forth.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm a positive thinker. I felt like, I don't know. It felt like these guys, like, you know, I mean, regular season. Yeah. There's a jump to Big Ten. There's a jump. There's a jump with the tension, the feel of the game, and playing these small schools. I never really had a chance to play like a mid. Well, obviously, you know, because we were like 1 and 2 seed, but I never really had a chance to play like a mid-major school who's like really legit. But they played different, and it was like, you know, a different style almost. And
what was jarring to me is normally when you lose to a mid-major school, it's like they have skilled, talented guards. And it's like you said, Cornette, they're gonna out game plan you. They're gonna finesse you. Yeah, it's almost going to be like a European like team like that comes in and yeah, they just get hot, they make shots, you know, whatever. They beat the dog, like they physically outmanned us, which was a little bit jarring, a little bit alarming. You know, Tyler Wall was on the floor a lot.
I texted you about that too. But yeah, no, it felt like we had the advantage going into the game. All right, Stephen Crowell, Tyler Wall in the post, like use our size and physicality. I felt the opposite. I felt like they were like scoring around the rim and getting whatever they wanted. And time has passed that I've kind of forgotten about it, but yeah, man, it was.
Yeah. Sam even made a comment. We talked the next day and Sam said something about like the athleticism. And I was like, I don't even think it was athleticism. It was just like, it was like you said, it was literally like dudes just like laid down almost. And for me, it was a little frustrating. Cause like I feel bad for those guys like Tyler and Chucky, like, and they had a good team. And I feel it's kind of, so it's kind of like, I don't want to say a wasted season, but it was a good season in some senses, but also a disappointment in some senses. So I feel bad for the players, like the coaching staff. I don't know if your coach guard, he's catching a lot of heat for that. I don't really know what you do in that situation. There's not a lot of game planning you can do.
It's not like Coach Guard was saying they're gonna sit back in a 2-3 zone and not pressure. Like I'm pretty sure he knew they were gonna try to pressure it a little bit and guys didn't respond all that well. But I don't know. Did you watch the Duke JMU game? Because I was pissed watching. I was pissed watching the start of that game because JMU just sat back and it was like they were scared of Duke. Like they didn't get up and pressure at all. Like what the
coach had a quote before the Duke game saying, this is not the Duke teams of old. This is this year's Duke team. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, yeah, they're terrified. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, and why are you saying that? Yeah, like, what? Why are you saying that? But
yeah.
It's neither here nor there. Another, you know, haven't made the Sweet 16 in – what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I mean, I think there's a lot to learn from – you know, we didn't make the tournament last – it was a lot of those guys' first – NCAA tournament in a while, and there is a difference, and I don't know if that's an excuse or not, but now they know, and I think it's one of those things we talked about all year, like where they were really good and where they were maybe not as good, and that inconsistently, like, it just came back to bite us in the ass. We weren't the physical all the time. We weren't great defensively. We weren't tough all the time. Some of those little things, and that's what ultimately lost us the game, were those things. I mean, we didn't have enough physical toughness consistently. We didn't have enough maybe leadership and, you know, fight for a whole 40 minutes. And once we got down 10, it was too late.
Yeah. Tough finish to the season. That being said, a lot to figure out going into next season. Obviously, we just talked to Daniel Freitag. He's a piece of the puzzle that will help make the squad whole again. But a lot of other things. Rumors, Joe Krabbenhoff has got head coaching interest at Southern Illinois. AJ Storr is entering the NBA draft / the transfer portal. Not quite sure what That is. And then, yeah. Gus Yaldin entering the transfer portal. Connor Season entering the transfer portal. Tyler Wall is done with eligibility. Presumably will head overseas. And then, yeah, so that's where that leaves us. We have Jack Robeson and Daniel Freitag coming in so far. A teammate, Frankie, blanking on names right now. I apologize.
Kid from Omaha, yeah.
Say it again?
I don't know. Kid from, he played at Omaha. That's all.
Yeah,
I know.
And Chucky's high school teammate, yep, as well. So Chucky's high school teammate and potentially a potential target for the transfer portal. So I guess that asks the question, where does that leave us going into next year? Do you see Joe leaving? For one, start there. No? Exactly. No chance?
No, not yet. No, I think coaching staff is fine. I think from a player standpoint, you know, on the surface, losing Connor Seagin, nice kid, but he didn't play. So, you know, whatever. Losing AJ Storr, a lot of positives that you can lose, a lot of good things that he did that you lost. But there's a lot of things that he maybe didn't do a ton. So, you know, find ways to collectively replace the scoring and collectively maybe we can be better at some of those things that we are lacking. And I'm trying to look at it positively. And I think there's no doubt that we need probably two transfers, a four-man who come in. And I'd love to see that kid from Omaha come or anybody who can stretch the floor. And that's just one thing that's really impacted us is we had two guys on the floor at all times, our four and five men who couldn't really stretch the floor. And having one guy who can't stretch the floor is fine. But I think if we can get a four man who can play and knock down shots on the outside and then maybe another wing who can score, I think we'll be good. I like our core guys that we have back, but we're missing one or two pieces. And I think the transfer portal is just going to allow that to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree. I think,
Saw a clip, man. I'll say it. I saw a clip in that James Madison game. When I texted you, we were down five. Max missed that wide open layup. They came down and hit a three. You know what I'm talking about?
Like
the biggest play of the game. Max had a wide open layup to cut it to like three, and he jagged it. They came down and hit a three. What AJ did in transition on that three, man, the transition defense from like
you. But AJ's gone now, so you about to start hating.
No, I'm just saying, like stuff, little plays like that. That was just like really like inexcusable. The effort in that transition play, and that lost us the game. I mean, we went from down five to down eight, and eight's too much with 5 minutes. You know, it's just like plays like that that this team collectively, I mean, I think they saw. It ends your season.
Yeah, no, I would agree. But before, all right, yes, that's something entirely different. So, like, AJ was great for us this year, but yeah, and yes, those are plays that you need to make. So you would think it'd be interesting to see if they change their approach in the transfer portal this year. I don't know if that's what you're getting at, but it's like Frankie Fiddler is a guy, like you said, can stretch the floor. He's heard from a lot of schools, also declared for the NBA draft, if you were wondering. Yes, averaged 20 points a game last year, 35 from 3, 45% overall, 6 rebounds. Heard from a plethora. Bet you didn't know that word. A plethora of schools. one that's another intriguing, UNC Greensboro. Exactly sure. I'm going to go with Michael Brown Jones, who averaged 19 points a game, 43% from the three. If we can get someone like him, would replace Tyler Wall. 6'8". That's someone that would be intriguing. Mm-hmm. Only 1 3 a game, but would be intriguing.
Yeah.
Is what is the biggest need, I would say? You have Marcus Silver on the bench. You have right, he's got one more.
Yeah, Marcus Silver, Carter Gilmore,
Nolan. Carter Gilmore. So yeah. Is replacing Tyler Wall how big of a necessity is that?
I think that's number one goal. I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm talking negative on AJ, because if we can get an AJ Storr in the portal at a wing, hell yeah, let's fucking do it. He obviously brought another level to our team that is irreplaceable, but I think a four-man, we just lack that inside-out, you know, capability this year, and I think we have enough guards between John, Chucky, Max, and some of the freshmen that We can kind of fill in the ball handling, but I think one more wing would be number two. So a 2-3 man, and then a 4 man would be number one. I don't know what you think.
I would
probably athletic 5 man. I think you wanted athletic 5 man. I just don't know if we need that fit right now.
We need a big athletic 5 rim running, dunking, throw that big dude. Yeah, we need one of those. We need one of those. But yeah, the 4 man for sure. I just don't know right now, looking at the roster, where does the scoring come from?
Well, I mean, Chucky's going to have to score. I mean, we got Chucky, we got Steve, Blackwell and Max, I think, can give you enough. And then, John Blackwell, I think, is going to make a big step. And I think Nolan Winter, I think the big key for next year is how big of a step does Nolan Winter and John Blackwell take? Because I think that freshman to sophomore leap is big. And those two guys might both be starting. I would love to see us play three guards with Chucky, Max, and John, and then the two bigs if we don't get a transfer, and Nolan and Steve. So I think we need those freshmen who got a ton of time last year, a ton of experience to take a big leap, and I think they can.
I would say I think we maybe need two transfers.
I think one of them's got to be a stretch four, though. One stretch four and a wing. Yeah, I think I'm with you.
Well, again, Mikael Brown, he is presumably somewhat of a stretch four. I don't know.
There's only 2,500 kids in the portal. You think we could find
two? You can find something.
I mean, yeah. I know the process, but I know that every time I open up my phone, there's 10 other kids in the portal.
Well,
but
you know what you need to do to help, Josh? Donate. Donate. Yeah. You need to give to the collective, and you need to help with the NIL money.
All right, get us some more money on this podcast, and we'll be talking.
All the money from the podcast goes to the Ohio State collective.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think we need? I mean, what do you?
You should have read the fine print.
I actually looked at all the kind of the Big Ten, not rosters, but it feels like every Big Ten team is losing a ton. Like Illinois loses a ton, Purdue loses a ton, Nebraska, Northwestern loses Boo Boo. I mean, you can look at our roster and be like, man, where are we going to replace this? Where are we going to replace that? But I think every single school in the Big Ten is losing more than we are. So, you know, every school is going to kind of be going to the portal or going to the guys who didn't play much this year. And
It is. Purdue has had such a chokehold on the league for the last few years because of Zach Edey. So that is going to be interesting to see how Zach Edey's departure. He won two Big Ten players of the years in a row?
Yeah, two national, yeah.
And two national, and before that, it was Travion Williams was even dominant before him. So it was like, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, because they lose the two guard too. They lose their four man. I mean, Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer really the two guys they bring back, and that Trace Kaufman guy. But they lose a ton.
Yeah, and they might look a little more human without Zach Edey. to be fair, yeah, it'll be interesting, man. But you know what? My mom always told me, worry about myself and control what I can control. So as far as that goes in context, I really look for Chucky to make that next step. Like Chucky is the key. I think Chucky and Steve both are the keys. I think we kind of found that out throughout the course of the year. They have to set the tone. I'm excited about Daniel, though. I'm really excited about to see what he could do. I think he could be kind of the next big. We haven't had – when was the last time we had a really top-notch, like – nationally point guard. It's been a minute.
Better than the other Minnesota kid we had back in 2010 era. I don't know. He's more mature.
That's Cat. he's probably more mature off the court.
No, I mean, I know we've had a long lineage of good point guards. I mean, Demetri Trice wasn't highly recruited. Trayvon wasn't highly recruited. A lot of guys like that. Bronson was. You were pretty good. But, yeah, I mean, I think he's a perfect fit, no doubt. What are you who you looking for? A UConn Purdue title game or what?
That's how you want to wrap the episode up. You want to wrap the episode up talking about who's gonna not okay. All right.
I think is the Big Ten gonna finally get a champion? I mean, I was wrong about UConn. I think you were wrong about UConn. They might be like really good.
Did I say I didn't say they weren't really good.
No, I think we both said there's not a great team in college basketball this year. And I know I said that, and I was, and I didn't think, and I think UConn might actually be like legitimately.
I would go back to what Mike DeCourcy said, and I think that this is more a case of there's just not a lot of good teams.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not saying that to disparage UConn. They've obviously been dominant, but like, they've taken apart Illinois. I liked Illinois. I thought Illinois had a chance. If they play that, that was crazy. That was the craziest thing. That was one of the craziest things. 30-0 run. That was, and like Illinois, it's not like Illinois just started doing wild stuff after, like, obviously they got out of sorts, but in the beginning they were missing wide open shots. Like wide open shots, or just getting blocked at the rim by, I mean, obviously big fella, Klingon. Donovan Klingon was obviously affected that game greatly, but
dude's dominant.
I thought the announcers kept talking about in that game, like, oh, they need to stay in the corner instead of cutting to the basket. But I just thought, like, their cuts were just poorly timed.
Yeah.
Like, it seemed like every time if Terrence Shannon got in the lane and Illinois would cut off of Klingon's man, and by the time he had cut and caught the ball, like, he was still outside the paint. Like, that's got to be, like, Terrence Shannon getting the paint. Klingon comes to Terrence Shannon. As he's coming, it's a drop-off. Klingon shouldn't even be able to turn around and get, like...
Yeah. Yeah.
But everything they did just seemed out of sync. And I was just like, this... So, I'm always one, like, I always like to examine, like, why people are out of sync. But to me, it just didn't feel like UConn took Illinois out of sync. It looked like Illinois took Illinois out of sync.
Yeah. I mean, how many breakaway dunks did they give up in that run? It was like they got, like, 4 breakaway layups and just they weren't... They weren't like anything. It wasn't but
they missed 5 layups in the first half.
Yeah.
And again, some of that was they missed one where dude just clearly was terrified that Klingon was going to turn around. And it was like, bro, relax. Like, go to the other side, reverse. Like, calm down. But yeah, I don't know.
John shot 3 for 17 from 3 and was up by 30.
What did Illinois shoot? 1 for.
No, I know, but you're saying Illinois this, Illinois that, but UConn did not shoot or play great either.
They played well, I guess.
They shot 17% from 3, and they won the game by 30.
What'd they do?
I don't know. Obviously very high, but
Illinois shot 22%. And
how many times in your basketball?
Sub 65 from the free throw line.
How many times in your college basketball career were you up by 30 in a game, especially in that magnitude? Never.
I think Illinois shot 30% from inside the charge circle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Klingon, that dude is dominant.
Uncontested. Listen, Illinois, UConn's got a good team. UConn has a good team. Like UConn might be one of the best coached college basketball teams. Maybe that I can remember.
You like that?
Best Seth, coached.
They run some nasty stuff. I agree.
They Joey said 30-0 run is an all-time heater. I think I looked it up during the game. I think 44-0 is the biggest college basketball run ever. I'm not sure about the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it was probably against some small school against
it. It was a small school. I forget what it was, but I looked it up.
No, you're right. I think UConn, they're on a string offensively and defensively. Like, they're so in sync. You talk about cutting, like, the guys are just in the right positions every single time, and that little action they run off the horn set where they skip it to the big and then run that. It's just brilliant. I think they have the great personnel for it, and I think they're good.
We'll wrap up. I mean, the Final Four is good. I think that UConn Purdue is on a collision course. Obviously, I think Klingon and Edie is going to be a great matchup. Really, I'm excited to watch. Like, that should be a great. Where I think Purdue is going to lose is with Purdue's going to lose it with. With the, I think Stephen Castle, late over here. My brain's Stephen Castle. I think is going to give Braden Smith trouble. I think he's going to really wreak havoc on that ball screen, and Newton as well. So I think it's going to be tough to get into that, which I think will help with some of the Edie stuff, making sure he doesn't catch it in positions. But that's gonna be great. NC State, Duke, great college basketball game. Tennessee, Purdue, great college basketball. Those are classic college basketball games to me. Yes. Like you had the star players doing their thing, wire to wire, back and forth, like good defense, good offense.
Yep. Physical. Yep. I think as good as UConn is, I mean, Alabama is a weird matchup and Purdue is a weird matchup. Like they might not win it just because they got these I really hope if Purdue and UConn play it. I hope Edie doesn't get two stupid fouls. I hope Klingon doesn't get two stupid fouls and they got to go to the bench or something. Like, I hope they let those guys play and battle it out and not, I hope it doesn't come down to foul trouble, because it seems to happen a lot when we play Edie and those guys that, you know, I want to see him play.
That's going to be, yeah. I mean, does Alabama have a chance against UConn?
Have you watched Alabama play? I watched them play once. And yeah. It was at the Elite Eight game. They just fucking jack up threes. It's crazy. And that's a great, that's
similar perfect to what Illinois does.
Yeah, but I think it's a little more.
It's a little more NBA stylish.
Pace. Yeah, it's a little more. Illinois is a little more methodical with that bully ball game or booty ball game, whatever they call it.
What I thought was going to happen, I thought that Terrence Shannon was going to be able to get Klingon into some foul trouble.
Yeah, it didn't happen, did it?
And it didn't happen. And I thought that, I think Alabama's set up similar in the sense that Mark Sears is the one that gets in the paint for them a lot. They have the other kid, Tramell, who's coming back, or supposedly coming back. But
they're just going to shoot it. They're not going to, like, should I shoot? Alabama's just going to shoot it, and they're just going to keep shooting them.
They're going to keep shooting it, and Grant Nelson is going to pull there. They're going to go small. Grant Nelson, I would assume, at some points, and Grant Nelson should be able to pull him away from the basket. Yep. Like,
so if UConn shoots 75% from two like they have been, but Alabama shoots 40% from three, like, it's a game. So, I mean, or they could lose by 30 like everybody else has, but who cares? If everybody else is losing by 30, you might as well have this weird style go against them, and then Purdue's a weird style too with Zach Edey. I mean, that's something they had never seen. So it's going to be tough for UConn to actually do it, I think.
Does NC State have a chance?
Probably, yeah. You were right about NC State. I was wrong about that. There.
That's
the state of college basketball, though. Do you see NC State's roster? They got five starters are like fifth-year seniors. Their whole team is fifth years.
Get old, and it's like, get old fast.
You can't win these days with freshmen, even if they're freshmen down to All-Americas. It feels like the transfer portal, it feels like you got, it's kind of Wisconsin style, the old ways. We see more veteran guys who have been there, and, you know, it feels like that's an advantage these days.
Get old and get old fast. But it's going to be, I don't want to, DJ Burns versus Zach Edey is going to be, I don't know if DJ
are big
Burns
guys is taking over basketball. Like NBA, you got Jokic and yeah,
I think that's, big guys have always run basketball. I think it's been Steph Curry, kind of. Steph Curry won a title in 15, but then when you really break it down after that, like, and he won in 23. But if you break it down other than that, and we got to go here soon, but if you break it down other than that, like, KD is still 7 feet at the end of the day. LeBron James is still, if you want to say wings, fine, but like, Giannis is big. Jokic is big. It's always going to be a big man's game. I talked to somebody about, you know, yeah, you go back to Tim Duncan with five titles, and obviously in the old times, but even in newer times, the big guys are going to win. And I was talking to somebody, even in Europe, some people in Europe say it's a guards game, which it is to an extent, but like, you go to Europe, Real Madrid has Eddie Tavares, who is a 7'2" dude who doesn't leave the paint. Like, they win all the time. So it's
yeah. I'm with you. It's just, you know, you're talking to a tournament, you need guard play, but
real quick before we go, people say that you need good guard play. Who has won where like the guard has been like, they didn't have really good big men, like Kemba in 11.
Yeah, all the UConn teams probably is, yeah.
No, I mean Shabazz, and then they had Alex Oriaki, right?
Yeah.
But okay, fine, Shabazz. But like, this UConn team is very different to most UConn teams.
Teams were very perimeter oriented. I think, I don't know. You can make a case the Virginia team who won it all. Their three best players were guards.
I mean, DeAndre Hunter is not a guard.
I know. He's more of a guard than a center. So
is he?
Yeah.
6'8". 6'8".
He's 6'8". 6'8". In Europe. shout out to Nigel Hayes for breaking that yearly record.
Shout out, yes, yes. Hey, man, we gotta. That's exactly how we're gonna end it. For anybody that does not know, Nigel Hayes Davis. That's his name. He likes to be called Nigel Hayes Davis. Josh, check in on your friends.
I respect that.
That way you said Nigel Hayes. Nigel Hayes Davis. Shout out to Nigel, and I hope that makes it as a clip from our podcast. Record breaking, the first 50-point game in EuroLeague history ever. First time ever. The previous record was 49, held by Shane Larkin. So big shout out to Nigel. Round of applause. Make sure y'all go show him love if you get a chance.
If anybody knows Nigel Hayes Davis, that dude impacts the game in so many more ways than just scoring the ball. So the fact that he broke the record of scoring and still probably did it within the flow of the offense, knowing how he plays, that's very impressive.
18 of 27 from the floor and 50
points. Pass the ball, Nigel.
I just want people to get the magnitude. 50 points in a EuroLeague game, like we just said, is a record. It's never happened before, but like 20 points in a EuroLeague game is probably like 35 in an NBA game, 30 in an NBA game. So again, make sure y'all go show.
I was about to ask you what I think I texted him saying 50 is like 75 in an NBA game. What's the comparison?
It's 50 in a EuroLeague game. Ooh,
it probably is like 70, isn't it? That's crazy.
I don't want to get carried away.
28 minutes or something.
Yes, in 28 minutes. I don't want to get carried away, but 50 points in a EuroLeague game, I would 81. I don't want to get killed. I hope this man Joey clip this up. This got to be it cuz we got to go show love to Nigel. Badger Men's Basketball, you got to post this as well. But yeah, Nigel deserves all the love in the world for that. 50 in a EuroLeague game. I'm saying it's like 81. I don't care what y'all say. Argue with your mama, man. But hey, that's all we got for y'all, man. This is Shot of Whiskey, season finale. We got to talk to the bosses, but we'll see y'all again next year. Make sure y'all tap in, show us love. Hopefully, we'll have some more for you during the offseason on the portal and stuff like that. But we appreciate y'all support all year long. Keep listening, keep supporting. I'm Jordan Taylor.
I'm Josh Gosser.
Yeah, there you go. Pay attention. Shot of Whiskey, man. We'll catch y'all next time.